Psalm 16, verse 1 through 11. This is the reading of God's Word. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, You are my Lord, I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Pour out your grace that as we hear your word, that our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has accomplished for us. And let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly. And let us understand your word and believe and obey. Let us live that holy life that you have called us to live. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 16. Well, the title, even though every week there's not much to say about the title, well, it's there. So, title tells us that it is a Psalm of David. Miktam of David, it says. Again, we do not know the precise meaning of this word, Miktam. Perhaps it is telling us that our psalm is a word of David, or a silent prayer of David, or a golden psalm of David. Or it might be a musical or liturgical term. We don't know. We also do not know the historical background to this psalm. In verses 4 and 5, David says that he will not serve other gods, and that the Lord is the portion of his inheritance and his cup. These things point to us, 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 19. Here, David says to King Saul, Now therefore, please let my Lord the king listen to the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is men, cursed are they before the Lord, for they have driven me out today so that I would have no attachment with the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods. So that verse shows us David's in great trouble, and this psalm was written with that historical background, but we simply do not know. In any case, David wrote this psalm during the time of persecution and sufferings. Well, most psalms are like that. And I guess when we come to the end of book one of Psalms, I will summarize it for you. all those psalms that up to that point we looked at. It's praising God in the midst of suffering. That's what Christian life is all about. Verse 1, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. Here we witness great faith of David. He trusts God and entrusts all things to him. Only God is his refuge. Preserve me, I take refuge in you. There is no doubt that he is going through a difficult time. But throughout the whole psalm, we do not find any complaints. Rather, he fellowships with God and confesses that God is his joy and pleasure. Truly an amazing grace of God. God bestows to his people this kind of faith. Verse 2, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good besides you. David confesses that God is the source of all the blessings. I have no good besides you. There is absolutely no happiness apart from God. And it is not just that God gives him all the good things, but more importantly, that God himself is his blessing. You are my Lord, he says. You are my master. You are my king. David lives in obedience to the Lord. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you, and besides you I desire nothing on earth. Verse 3, as for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Those who delight in God also delight in the saints of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So people who love God will love his people. That's the truth. The saints, the holy ones, the ones that God has set apart, they are the majestic ones. They are the glorious ones. But the opposite is the non-believers. Verse 4a, the sorrows of those who have bartered, meaning exchanged, for another god will be multiplied. Psalm 32, verse 10, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. When we live here on earth, sometimes we see that this might not be true. But ultimately, this is the truth. David is not one of them. So verse 4, latter part of verse 4, I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. Joshua chapter 23, verse 7, so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. Not pouring out their drink offering of blood, not taking their names upon my lips. These phrases point to what? David is saying that he will not serve nor worship other gods. Because pouring out drink offering is a part of sacrifice, is worship. Taking their names upon his lips is about serving and worshiping other gods. David says, I will not do that. Verses 5 and 6, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. The words portion, inheritance, lot, heritage, lines fallen to me in pleasant places, these all point to the event of the book of Joshua. When the Israelites have conquered the land, they have divided the land among 12 tribes. Joshua 19, verse 51. These are the inheritance with which Eleazar, the priest, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel distributed by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting, so they finished dividing the land. The land was the portion of their inheritance. It was their heritage. Even the word cup points to God's blessing, like in Psalm 23, verse 5, my cup overflows. When they were dividing the land, the tribe of Levite, in which that tribe, through that tribe, many priests came out, right? They did not receive any part of the land. Why? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 9, therefore Levi does not have a portion or inheritance with his brothers. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God spoke to him. See, God was their inheritance. Thus, God teaches us that for Christians, ultimately, God and His kingdom, heaven, is the true inheritance. In Christ, we are the true royal priesthood. David lived with this faith. So he says, God is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 119, verse 57, the Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. Psalm 142, verse 5, I cry out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. So you understand what David is saying. God is my inheritance, and God is my eternal wealth. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. You see here David's complete satisfaction with God. And just God Himself. Verse 7 and 8. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. In verses 1 through 4, David confesses that God is his refuge. In verses 5, 6, David confesses that God is the portion of his inheritance and his cup. Now in verse 7 and 8, David confesses that God is his counselor. God leads and guides him and instructs him. The Lord who has counseled me. It is the illumination of the Holy Spirit which guides us. And he says, I have set the Lord continually before me. And I will not be shaken because God is at my right hand. He protects me and he guides me. It's a beautiful psalm. Verses 9 through 11, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your holy ones to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever.
Our God who guides and leads us while we live here on earth, He will guide and lead us in our death. Verse 9, these words, my heart, my glory, meaning my spirit and my flesh. Heart, spirit, and flesh, meaning my whole life, is glad and rejoices and dwells securely. Verse 10, even in our death, God is with us. God saves us from eternal death. And verse 11, God will make known to us the path of life. And God is with us. We will live in His presence. Thus our life is full of joy and pleasures forever and ever. In verse 8, David said that God is at his right. Now, he finds pleasure forever in God's right hand. Brothers and sisters, this is our present spiritual heavenly reality that is already accomplished for us. Accomplished for us to enjoy. And Jesus has done. Well, this psalm, first of all, it's Jesus' psalm. We find a Peter sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 25 through 32. For David says of him, Peter says, David, who wrote this psalm, says of Jesus, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for He is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh will also live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your holy ones to undergo decay. You have made known to me the way of life. You will make me full of gladness with presence, your presence. Acts chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 25, and 29 says, Brethren, Peter says, I may confidently say to you, regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. What is Peter saying in Acts chapter 2? You read David's psalm, and there, David, sounds like this is what David is saying, that I will not go undergo decay. But Peter is saying, you know that David is dead, and his body is now decayed. Meaning that that person cannot be David. David was not singing about himself. Well, ultimately, he is, but this is what Peter is saying in Acts 2. You read this psalm saying that David is saying that, oh, God will not let me go decay, but we know he's dead and he is decayed. So, verse 30, and so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to sit one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. This is what Peter is saying. Peter is saying that David was singing about Jesus Christ, and David was saying things about the resurrection of the Christ. See, here I don't even need to explain what this psalm is about, because Peter, Apostle Peter, does it for us in Acts chapter 2. The person in this psalm cannot be David. Why? Because he is dead. At the time of Peter saying this thing, David is dead. David was writing what Jesus says of himself. Our psalm speaks of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 13, verse 34. As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. For David, after he has served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he, Jesus, whom God raised, did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, Jesus, forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. See, these verses tells us that Psalm 16 is about Jesus Christ. Psalm 16 is a psalm of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is his word. Apostle Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. For I deliver to you as of first importance that I also receive, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. See, our Lord's death and resurrection, they are according to the Scriptures, Psalms, and many other places in the Old Testament. So before Jesus comes, through Psalm, God tells his people of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. This is what is amazing, and yet it's David who sings of his life. So we could see from this that life that belonged to Christian and Jesus' life is the same life. Because we are living his life. And it really doesn't matter whether it's in New Testament or the Old Testament. If you are a true Christian, you are living the life that belongs to Christ. And you are united to him in all things, death and resurrection. It speaks of Jesus' life. He is the only one who has completely trusted his Father and entrusted all things to his Father and lived in joyous fellowship with his Father. But in Jesus Christ, this psalm is our psalm. My psalm, your psalm. Yes, Jesus Christ is our refuge. Who could say the same thing that David is saying? Because it is the words of Christ. Jesus is our refuge. God is the portion of our inheritance and our cup. Jesus has given us himself and his kingdom as our eternal inheritance. Indeed, the lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. Yes, the heaven. That land is our land. And yes, our heritage is indeed beautiful to us. Oh, so many people out there, they worry about their heritage. We have our heritage, and it's beautiful. We're so proud of it. We will bless the Lord who will illumine us through his word. Yes, we die physically, but our Lord Jesus Christ will not abandon our souls to hell. Nor will he allow his holy ones, us, to undergo decay forever. Yes, it will decay for a while, but we will resurrect. We will resurrect to a glorified body. We too set our Lord Jesus Christ continually before us. And because he is at our right hand, we will not be shaken now and forever. Jesus Christ is the path of life for us. In his presence is fullness of joy. And in Jesus' right hand, there are pleasures forever. Our heart is glad and we rejoice now and forever. Oh yeah, this is our song. This is our reality. It speaks of how I am, what is true of us now and forever. John 16 verse 22, Jesus said, therefore you too have grief now, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice and no one will take your joy away from you. Nothing will take this joy away from us. And this is real joy. And this is not joy that you brag about out there, but you know you're joyous. You're okay. No matter what happens out there, I will not be shaken. Even if I die, I will not be shaken. Oh, brothers and sisters, you need to realize how blessed you are. Oh, you complain about a lot of things in your life, but you got to understand the gospel. There's nothing to complain about. John 17 verse 13, Jesus says to his Father, but now I come to you and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Jesus' joy is made full in us. You know how much joy that is? You need to understand. You need to believe so that you could possess it, so you could enjoy it. If you don't believe, then it doesn't become yours. Because everything that Christ has done and what he has accomplished, it becomes ours by faith. Without faith, nothing is yours. Brothers and sisters, have it. It's yours. Enjoy it. And read that psalm and going, well, how come David is writing about me? I come out in the Bible. Like main character, even though the main character is Jesus Christ. But I am included. In every passage you read in this book, you are included. So joyous and wonderful reality of our salvation. But we need to remember, how was it accomplished? Well, Jesus Christ, bearing our sins, died on the cross for us, drinking not the cup of blessing, but the cup of eternal judgment. Psalm 11 verse 6 speaks of the judgment that will be poured out to the wicked. Upon the wicked, he will rain snares, fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. Revelation chapter 14 verse 10, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. Man, can you even imagine? In full strength, God's anger and his wrath will be poured out. That's the portion of the cup of wicked. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. See, Jesus, bearing our sins, drank that cup of God's anger and wrath on the cross. That's what happened. Instead of, he drank that cup. So that now we could drink the cup of joy, cup of blessing, cup of eternal joy and blessing. Yes, mixed in full strength.
Matthew 26, verse 39, Jesus went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me.
Yet not as I will, but as you will. Now, because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, we now and forever drink the cup of God's eternal blessing. And we sing this psalm, this beautiful psalm as our song. Everything that this psalm says is true of you. Oh, brothers and sisters, understand how blessed you are. Oh, we might suffer out there, we might be persecuted out there. We do. And we don't have much in this world, but understand how much you have in heaven. How much you have in God, Jesus Christ. This is why I never look at my brother or my sister and have pity on them. I don't. You cannot make me pity you because you have so much and you are so blessed. Asking me to pity you is asking me to deny the gospel. Deny what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for you. Oh yes, your situation might be so bad and it might even get worse. But you're still so blessed. And when you understand that, when you believe it, you will not pity yourself either. It's okay. And you might not have this, or you might not have that, or you might never will have any of whatever you think. It's still okay. Because God is the portion of your inheritance and of your cup. Full strength of His joy is yours. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we give You all the glory, honor, and power. You are so good to us and we are completely satisfied. We bless You. We praise You. We give You all the glory and thanksgiving. We possess You. Thus we possess all things. We love You, God. We give You all the glory. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.